Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We give you honor. We give you glory. We thank you, Father God, that your angelic hosts are going to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to the people here tonight. Father God, meet every need. Do the perfect works within their souls, Father. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. There's a whole lot of false teaching going on out there right now. I was reading an article where this person said that if you're teaching to be holy like Jesus is holy, then you have the doctrine of Jesus. You know, they'll put down holiness at all cost. They do not want to preach holiness in the house of God. And you cannot, you need to know the word for yourself. And God says, be ye holy as I am holy. This church has always taught holiness, and we will always teach holiness. And we need to understand that the enemy is out there putting deception in the churches all around. You know, what bothers me is the reason why you believe that is because you really want to believe that, so then you don't have to live holy. I've noticed that. And, you know, people who pastors who are into, you know, evangelists or whatever, bishops that are into pornography and stuff, they won't teach against that because if they do, then they have to admit that they have a sin in their life too. We can no longer do this. We do not have the time or the opportunity to do this. We have to live holy. We have to, you know, Billy Graham has an article that he just preached where he said holiness has to be brought back into the house of God if America is to be redeemed. Now, I don't know about you, but I live in the pits of hell every day, and I don't care to go there. I just don't care to live in that realm for throughout eternity. I really don't. I don't understand how you can live in darkness and claim you are of the light. I don't understand that. I don't understand how you can, you know, say, you know, tell the Lord you love him or tell somebody else you love the Lord and you're in total darkness yourself. There's a way of escape, and that way of escape is through deliverance. You know, one of my little grandsons, when they did the ultrasound, isn't that what you call it when a woman's pregnant and they do that thing? One of the pictures, it was a demon's face. The child's face was a demon. And God let me know that it was Satan's child. And that's little Isaiah. I've been doing deliverance on Isaiah ever since he's been about 6 months old. And he's really, he's become a sweet, gentle little boy. I mean, he still has his little temper tantrum too soon, but the demons are coming out of him. But I had to do the work. I had to pray. I had to set the little boy free. He can't set himself free. And, you know, whenever they say, oh, the terrible twos, it's not the terrible twos. It's the terrible demons that are inside of these children that they were born with. And you might not want to believe that, but that's all right. You go ahead and believe whatever you want to believe. Get into the Word. There's even a scripture that tells you about that. It just really blows my mind how the body of Christ does not want to hear the truth. And when they do hear the truth, they boo-hoo the truth and don't live the truth. They still go about their merry way. God has been giving me Isaiah 52 now for a month. And finally this morning I said, God, you keep giving me Isaiah 52. And what Isaiah 52 is saying that the people in the church have already decided whether they're going to live for God or not. And I'm to shake their dust off me and move on. Don't worry about whether or not they're going to get saved. They've already made their decision. So, you know, are you one of those? Have you already made your decision to walk with the devil or to walk with God? You know, people preach us here this sloppy grace. You know, you can do whatever you want to do and still go to heaven. That is not true. That is not true. You need to get in the Word and learn what grace truly is. You know, but for the grace of God, I stand or not being a drug addict. You know? But for the grace of God, I'm standing here and, you know, I'm not an alcoholic. Come on. You know, people use grace. You know, they say, well, you go out and sin today and then ask forgiveness tomorrow and everything's just going to be fine. No, that is not true. You just don't know your Word. I'm not going to teach on that tonight. This is just what God laid upon my heart to say to you guys. You must be living a righteous life before a righteous king. That's just all. That's just bottom line. Top line, middle line. It's just the line, period. God's finished with this here little gray area that we used to walk in, that the church used to walk in. What I'm going to talk about tonight is arise to the challenge. God has given us an adjustment window for 2015. Genesis 6:16 says, construct an opening all the way. This is God telling Noah how to make the ark. Construct an opening all the way around the boat, 18 inches below the roof. Then put three decks inside the bottom boat, middle and upper, and put a door in the side. God told Noah exactly how and where to put the window. He is doing the same to us, capturing a window of a set time. This is our set time, guys. This is a time that God is saying, I want to redeem you. I want to get you ready to send you out there to do the great mighty works I've called you for to do. Genesis 8:6 says, after 40 days, Noah opened the window that he had built into the ship. Let me stop there. 40 days, fix something here. God prophesied the other day about in the Daily Word about fasting and praying. Now, somebody called and said, what, are you going to tell us when to end the fast? I'm not going to tell you nothing. You get before the God. You determine what kind of fast you're going to do, how long it's going to be, what kind it's going to be. That fast is between. God didn't tell me. He didn't say in that word, you tell the people to take a 40-day fast with nothing but water. He didn't say that. He just said it's time you fast and pray. All right, so you set your own fast. And don't call and ask me if you should do this or that. I mean, and I did read an article where somebody was saying that they have these new juicers out, you know, and there a lot of people are fasting and drinking the juice, you know, from the vegetables, and it's really purifying their bodies. So I don't care how you do it; that's between you and God. He just gave me the word, and I gave it to you. So then, after 40 days, Noah opened the window that he had built into the ship. Genesis 8:15-19. God spoke to Noah, "Leave the ship. You and your wife and your sons' wives. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." Noah disembarked with his sons and wife and his sons' wives. Then all the animals, crawling creatures, birds, every creature on the face of the earth left the ship family by family. Noah had a choice in his director from God, and the window was captured. On the special day, now I'm going to explain this right now. On the special day, with orders from God, Noah released a dove from the window to search for life. Genesis 8:4-12. On the 17th day of the seventh month, the ship landed on Ararat mountain range. The water kept going down until the 10th month. On the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains came into view. After 40 days, Noah opened the window that he had built into the ship. He sent out a raven. It flew back and forth, waiting for the floodwaters to dry up. Then Noah sent a dove to check on the flood conditions, but the dove couldn't even find a place to perch. Water still covered the earth. Noah reached out and caught it, brought it back into the ship. He waited 7 more days and sent out the dove again. It came back in the evening with a freshly picked olive leaf in its beak. Noah knew that the flood was about finished. He waited another 7 days and sent the dove out a third time. This time the dove didn't come back. God is now doing the same in our window of time. He has given us the opportunity right now, and it's from now until the end of the year. We are supposed to walk into that window that God has opened for us and to do the perfect work that God has foreordained us to do. Preparation. We have had 8 years of preparation time. 8 years ago, God started doing this. You know, if you really knew God and you really talked to God, you would find out that God's been preparing things for years and years and years before he finally they happen. But because you don't talk to God, because you don't live right, you can't hear his voice, you don't understand what's really going on around about you, and you really don't understand what's going on in the earth. So I'm really asking each one of you tonight to start living righteous, like the Bible says, then start sitting before the Father and listening for his voice, and do what he's telling you to do. Don't do nothing more, don't do nothing less, just do what he's telling you to do. Now, many people out there are thinking, well, all I do, just need to do is just sit around and do nothing, and God's going to supply all my needs. That's a bunch of garbage. You know, the Bible says if you don't work, then you don't eat, right? And you just need to quit that kind of thinking. It's really bad when other people watch you do that, because they think, what kind of God do you serve? You know, I'm out here laboring, and you're just sitting there, and people are handing you stuff hand over foot. That's not godly. That is not godly. Joshua 1:10-11. Then Joshua gave orders to the people's leaders. Go through the camp and give this order to the people. Pack your bags. In 3 days you will cross this Jordan River to enter and take the land God, your God has given you to possess. Question, what did we do with it? God told us we were at the River Jordan, now cross over. And he kept saying, you're at the River Jordan, cross over. You're at the River Jordan, cross over. So evidently, the people are not crossing over. So why? Because if they did, he wouldn't keep repeating it. So why don't you do like Joshua, cross over and take possession of the land that God has told you that you're going to have. That land could be, let's say, a house. It could be a job. It could be a contract. It could be about anything. Why don't you go ahead and cross over and possess what God has for you on the other side of the Jordan? We're so afraid to let go of the past and step into the future. We need to step into the future, guys. We should have done that a while back. We missed our first calling on that. And I've told you before, I'm not missing this calling. I haven't missed this calling. And I'm hoping each one of you don't either, because this is the time. If you don't step over now and do the things God's calling you forth to do, I don't know when God's going to come around again. Are you listening? Because he has a work that needs to be done now. Right now. And he's positioning people. I read again where somebody prophesied where God is. All right, like Carol Ann was taken from Florida. She left everything and came to Delaware, dead old Delaware. You know, and there's other people being sent from church to church. God's trying to position his people into places they are needed because he knows where he wants to use them. And we drag our feet and we fuss and we fight with God. Don't do that. I've said, God, would you please move me out of Delaware? And he won't move me out of Delaware. Amen? So come on, do what God's... I could get up and move myself, you know. I wouldn't have to live in Delaware. But, you know, I'm going to do what God's telling me to do. Doesn't matter what I like. It's the will of the Father, right? Come on. God prophesied and told us to contend and use this 8 years of a season of grace wisely. Right now is a new day with a short window of time. From today on, we should be totally serious about the works of the Father. God intends for his kingdom to come in the earth as it is in heaven. He's been telling us that for a long time. This is not the time to become idle. I am hearing so many excuses why people can't come in the house of God anymore. There's something astir in the atmosphere, guys. The enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And you better be careful what you're saying, what kind of excuses you're making that you don't go into the house of the Father. The enemy's going to take you and kill you. He really is. This is engagement time for warring in the spiritual as we have never done before. This is a year of the sword. I'm going to tell you, I was talking to Brother Chris. I've been talking to Brother Chris about this, that anger has really settled in on me. I fight anger every day. Every day. Anger is so intense in me at times that I can't stand my own self. And this is witchcraft. God's revealed this is witchcraft being prayed over me. God forbid, because I pray, everything that's prayed to me goes right back to the sender. You know, I am so tired of fighting witchcraft prayers. I'm so tired of living with Jezebels and Ahabs, and, you know, who destroy the atmosphere around about me. And I hope you're sick and tired of it too. We're not meant to for these Jezebels, Ahabs, and witchcraft, and people to be, you know, be taking your joy from you. I guess that's why I have two small kids that just keep me going, because they do sort of keep my joy. We must let it cut both ways, first in our hearts and next into the nations. We're talking about the sword that we picked up. We must let it cut both ways, first in our hearts and next into the nations. We can do this if we will obey. Then God will hear. 2 Chronicles 7:13-15. If I ever shut off the supply of rain from the skies or order the locusts to eat the crops or send a plague on my people, and my people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked lives, I'll be there and ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. From now on, I'm alert day and night to the prayer offered at this place. you know, I read that and reread that. I said, God, I've been praying and trying to get this anger off of me and trying to get the darkness that's around about me broken. And he said, you just rest. He said, you just rest. He said, I have this all under control. And, you know, sometimes when you're under attack and God said, just rest. You're wondering, rest, you know, how do I rest when all the atmosphere is so heavy and so dark over me? But you know, one time God told me, daughter, your name is heard, known all around the world. I have people all around the world praying for you. So it doesn't matter what you come under, what kind of attack you come under, you are covered with prayer. And right now he's really laid it upon Brett and Nancy's heart to really keep me covered in prayer. And I know I'm headed for something. I can feel it in my spirit. It's not good. I'm headed for something. I feel it in my spirit, but I also know that God has my back. And see, I'm telling you, so you need to know when this heaviness comes upon you and you don't know which way to turn, God does have your back. It doesn't matter what the enemy is trying to do to you. God will not allow it to happen. Come on. Are you listening here? I'm hearing God say, tell them my arm is not too short. I can do whatever they need done. And sometimes I say, God, I know your arm's not short at all, period. But this is really heavy. How many of you have been under heavy attack? Really severely heavy attack. And you know, it's hard. It's really hard. But the only thing that keeps us going really is we know we have a family. We know we have people who love us and who, you know, cover us. I'm talking about that. God showed me something today. You know, I told you my first marriage, I was married 45 years. And when my third child was born, my children are 1, 2, and 3 years old, you know, born 13 months apart. And when my third child was born, she was just a couple months old. And my husband came home from work one night and told me that he was in the Air Force, that we were finished. He was never going to touch me again. He didn't love me, blah, blah, blah. So we lived together, just raised children. And when, you know, I didn't run around. He had a problem. He needed a deliverance, but we didn't know that then, all right? But, you know, I could do that. And finally, you know, and everybody's, how can you do that? And finally today, God shared with me why I could do that. And he said, because the love never left either one of you for each other. Even though you've made an agreement, all right, we're going to live here like this. And, you know, because he was bound, and these women kept trying to get him to divorce me, you know, and go with them. That's why we live like we live. But he said there was always love there. And, you know, I got to thinking about that. And as long as there's somebody who loves you around you, you can do anything. Isn't that right? Come on. I thought that was fantastic. God took all these years to reveal that to me. You know, finally, a woman did convince him to divorce me. Then after he divorced me, he ran around. He went clear out to California to tell everybody that I divorced him. I mean, that was the devil too. But see, as long as there's love. But God said when hate gets to its perfect form, he said, then's when the enemy comes in and wreaks havoc in people's lives. But as long as there's love, as long as there's some sort of love there, the enemy can't come in and do what he desires to do. I hope that helps some of you. Because we don't know what the enemy's up to next. All right, set time. Genesis 17:21. But I'll establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will give you about this time next year. God told Abraham exactly when Isaac would be born. He said, about this time next year. See, God knows the exact timing for everything. And he always brings things to pass in your life at the exact time, his timing. It's never our timing. And we think, God, why don't you get this done? It's not time yet. And whenever he does work on it, when he does get it done, everything's perfect. So quit trying to get God to do it before his timing. I've done that for years, but I quit. I finally sunk into this little thick skull that it isn't going to happen until God's ready for it to happen. This is beyond convenience. This is a God-set time. And this is a God-sent time right now. From now until the end of the year, God told me today, he said, my people must heed my voice. They must yield to me and do everything I'm asking them to do. It's very imperative that from now until the end of the year, you do everything that God's asking you to do. Don't falter in what he's asking you to do. Just take it one day at a time, one step at a time. By faith, just go ahead and follow God. It's a faith walk. This is beyond convenience. This is a God set time. God is looking for those who will help the church, not hinder the church. but come into the house of God and help the church. The kingdom of God is now needing the church to step up to the plate and stop the attitudes of competition, selfish agendas, outside the kingdom focused thinking that cause fragmentations. Matthew 14:20 says, they all ate their fill. They gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 were fed. This is when Jesus fed the 5,000 on the mountainside. They had just been fed heavenly loaves and fishes, and now they were gathering the leftovers to take with them, because it would be needed where they were going. There was rough waters of challenge just ahead, but Jesus was not concerned. And see, this is the way we are. We gather up things and hold tight to them, you know, because we know we're going to run into something bad. But, you know, God isn't concerned about it. So if we would do just like Jesus did and just put it in his hands, saying, God, you already know what the outcome's going to be. You already know what's going to happen. You know the beginning, the ending, and in between. So I'm placing it in your hands, and I'm going to get away from it. All right? But Jesus was not concerned. He went to the mountain before the storm and prayed. Before the storm and prayed. He was not afraid. He was ready to impart into his disciples. He told them, be not afraid. I am here. It was the fourth watch of the night, about 3 a.m. We need to go to the mountain and pray before the storms come, not when they start. God is challenging his body to fast and pray. See, our problem is when we get in the midst of the storm, then we start praying, then we start crying out to God because we haven't been seeking God's face. We aren't warned of what's going to happen. So when it hits us, we're just all over the place. This is why God has been saying, my people need to hear my voice for themselves. They need to get before me daily, seek my face, and listen for my voice for direction. You know, what if you were the only person on the earth? Who are you going to call to hear God's voice? You know, how are you going to know what to do? So learn to seek God's face and hear his voice right now. A lot of preachers don't want you to hear God's voice for yourself because they want you to lean on them. Don't you lean on me. I'm too busy. You get before God. You learn to hear his voice. And, you know, the word says his sheep know his voice and no other voice where they follow. His sheep means you're walking righteous, pure, and holy before God. You're being obedient to God. You're doing what God's telling you to do. And if you do all that, then you're going to hear his voice. So if you come and tell me I don't hear God's voice, well, then you need to check your walk with God. How are you walking? Because God told me one time the Holy Spirit will walk away. He's a gentleman. He's not going to stay around where he's not wanted. Are you listening? If you're not walking right before the Lord, if you're out there sinning, then you don't want the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is supposed to, and he does, lead, guide, and direct your footsteps. You know, if you're really following God and you're getting ready to do something stupid, the Holy Spirit say, don't do that. Don't do that. When I married my first husband, you know, I was getting ready to walk down the aisle. And see, I didn't know what I know today. And I heard a voice say, don't walk down that aisle. I looked all around and I thought, what is this? And I heard a voice again, don't go down there. I don't want this marriage to take place. Well, not knowing what I know, because even though I went to church, I was never taught that God speaks to his people. I went on down the aisle. So whatever happened to me was my fault, because I was disobedient to that voice, even though I didn't understand the voice. See, people they're afraid to admit their fault. They're always blaming God or the other person. You need to start taking the blame for you whenever you do something that you shouldn't be doing. Purging for possessing. Okay, I'm sorry. God is using his real disciples to pick up the fragments. You know, they picked up the fragments of the food in that story. Now God is using his real disciples. Everybody in here is a disciple. He's using his real disciples in this day and in this hour. So God is using his real disciples to pick up the fragments. Now, a real disciple is one who's following God, just like I just explained to you. Your mind is on Christ. It's stayed on Christ. It's not dwelling into some dark places somewhere. Okay, now since I said that, how many have heard about this Charlie thing? I just heard about this today. You know, that's demonic. And if your children are doing that, they're inviting demons into their bodies. Well, if you want to know what Charlie is, get on the computer, you'll find out. They take pencils and they ask the pencils questions and the pencils answer them. And whenever they do that, they're doing that in schools all over the place. And when you do that, demons come right on into the people. They've proven that. It was on the 700 Club is where I heard about it, okay? So you can go home and check that out. And if your kids are in school, tell them, warn them of it. Purging for possessing. At this very given moment, even as I am speaking, we are being purged to possess the kingdom. Even at this very given moment, even as I'm speaking, we are being purged to possess the kingdom. Remember the seven detestable things God hates in Proverbs 6:16. Here are six things God hates and one more that he loathes with a passion. Eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots, feet that race down a wicked track, a mouth that lies under oath, a troublemaker in the family. We all have troublemakers in a family. I'm quite sure we do. I know I have one, and it's a big one. Always causing trouble, and I'm thinking, why in the world would you do that? Amen? These are things, this is Proverbs 6, 16 through the 19. This is the things that God hates. God is right now purging all these things out of his children. So you're wondering why you're going through what you're going through? God is purging that junk out of you. Jesus sends out the 12 with power and authority in Luke 9:1. Jesus now called the 12 and gave them authority and power to deal with all the demons and cure diseases. Jesus now called the 12 and gave them authority and power to deal with all the demons and cure diseases. He commissioned them to preach the news of God's kingdom and to heal the sick. Now, if you claim to be a child of God, then you are supposed to be doing this. If you're a child of God and you're walking in purity and holiness and righteousness, then you have the power and authority to do what Luke 9:1 through 5 says. And verse 3 said, he said, don't load yourselves up with equipment. Keep it simple. You are the equipment and no luxury inns. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. If you're not welcome, leave town. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and move on. We're always trying to convince people that what we're telling them is the truth. God says, don't do that. Just move on. Galatians 6:1 says, live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, see, listen to this. Forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Read this again. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. The body of Christ really needs that purged out of them. We are so critical and so judgmental, and God is telling us to quit judging. Yes, we are supposed to judge, but not the way the church is judging. The church is judging wrong, and the church uses that scripture in the wrong manner. How many of you know that people so soon forget from whence they came? And the Bible says, don't forget from whence you came. You know, I've seen the biggest drug addict get set free, then sit around and condemn other drug addicts. Well, you know, you forget that mess. You might return back to being a drug addict. You don't know. I wouldn't be judging like that. The Lord is saying, enough reaction. Now it's time for action. Decreeing it. Hear, pray, decree, be. God means speak it forth out loud verbally over your situation. Spend time with the Father and hear his voice in prayer. Then if God decreed it, then be it. Shout out loud your decrees. Just say it. Speak it out. Decree a thing. You and I are the answers to many of our unanswered prayers. If God has told you something that's going to happen and hasn't, you need to start decreeing it. I decree, Father God, that you said, and then whatever he said, start decreeing it. And I always say, God, and I want it to come to pass now, because it's been this long time. And you know, if your prophetic word does have a shelf life, like the one prophet said, you know, if it does, then, and it hasn't happened, then you need to start decreeing it. You need to start speaking into the atmosphere and allow God to work on it. I decree things all the time. When somebody calls me to pray with them, I start decreeing right away. And that's what you need to do too. There is a time to pray, to hear, and to resound. 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, we, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground. But it is not popular wisdom, the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest. What God determined as the way to bring out his best in us, long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what this eternal plan is. If they had, they wouldn't have killed the master of the God-designed life on the cross. In other words, there's wisdom in God's word. He's been telling us that. In this dispensation right now, when you read the word, wisdom is going to pop out of that word. You're going to see things you never saw before. So whenever, you know, if you're like me, you have to go back and read that again. I never seen that before, and I've been reading the Bible for years. God is bringing his wisdom that's in his words out to the forefront so we can use it to win a lost and a dying world to him. There are many things in the Bible, just like, you know, people's names in the Bible. What do they call that? Yeah, the Bible code, that code. You know, where your name is actually in the Bible, you know, your whole name, how many kids you're going to have, blah, blah. The whole thing is there, but we just don't know how to, they do know how to get into it. I don't, but they do know how to get into it. Perry Stone found his, and whenever his child that died, you know, she was praying with that child. I don't know if it was born or died while she was carrying it, but he knew it wasn't going to live, but yet in the Bible was her name, and that's what they called her. And then they knew about the other child they were going to have, and they knew what to call it, what sex it was, what they was going to call it. It was all in the Bible. Everybody in here, your name's in the Bible, and your life is there with it. How do you find that? God's wisdom. God showed somebody how to find that. There's other things in the Bible. Like right now I'm reading where somebody, and I don't know who it is, somebody is finding in the Bible cures for diseases. It's been in the Bible all along, but nobody's ever seen it. But now he's finding these cures, and God's shown these cures for these diseases in the Word. I think that's fantastic. You know, and God told us he was going to do this. For years he's been telling us, but how many of us really believe him when he said it? And see, we can't be dilly-dallying around, saints of God. We have to know what the Word of God says. Where am I at, Nancy? Hidden treasures for 2015, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Isn't that what God did the other night? Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Come on, your old life should be dead. And you should be walking in that brand new life. If you come up here in the prayer line and you didn't get it, then there's something wrong with your walk with God. You're not living right. Because the old should have passed away and a brand new should be before you. The Lord wants us to expect the unexpected. But see, we don't like the unexpected because it's out of our norm. But he wants us to expect the unexpected. Amen. I'm going to steal Nancy and Brett's glory. She was sick the other night. Went to the emergency room with terrible pain in her stomach, and she's pregnant. You know, and they weren't expecting the unexpected, you know. So, you know, we're happy for her. She said, oh, dear Lord. But she's happy now. She's come to grips with it, I think. And how would you like to have 7 kids, another one on the way? My, my, my. You know, the Amish do it all the time. Come on, you're not going to die. But anyhow, you wasn't expecting that. It was the unexpected, and it blew her mind. Blew mine, too, when I heard about it. But I'm happy for them. I really am. God's already told me we're going to have another baby, so it wasn't, you know, he already warned you, right? He just didn't say when, so. There's a whole lot of unexpected things that happened in my life. How about yours? You weren't expecting to sell your dream home, were you? Say, no, see? So what did I say? The Lord wants us to expect the unexpected. Come on. So whenever the unexpected happens, we just say, oh, well, you know, I knew it was coming, right? We have every covenant authority from our Father to decree things that be not as though they were. You know, I've heard this teaching for years and years, and I've always had trouble with that, but you know what? I don't have trouble with it today. And if I would have not had trouble with it 15 years ago, I wouldn't have been where I'm at today. I wouldn't be poor. You know what I'm saying? Because I heard all the other things coming against that. But God says decree a thing. It says it in his word. See, that's just something I never saw in the Word, so I didn't know the wisdom of it. So if we don't see it in the Word and we don't know the wisdom of it, then when it's thrown out there in front of us, we think, really now? Right? Remember how I had to teach and teach and teach on the fact that we were in heaven before we came down here? And it was right there in the Word, but I had to keep teaching and teaching. Then everybody else picked up, and then everybody was teaching about it. So you came from heaven. So what are you doing sinning? You know, we heard about that little girl. She was 3 years old, and she had a baby sister. I think it was two girls. What do you say it was? And she ran in there. She told her mother and dad she wanted to go talk to her baby sister. And she ran in there and said, she said, what was Jesus like? Because they say babies remember Jesus from the time they're born to the 3 years old. And after the 3 years old, they forget what he was like. She said, what did Jesus look like? I'm beginning to forget. I think that's awesome, don't you? So they had to come from heaven, right? Ezekiel 37, 1 through 6. God grabbed me. God's Spirit took me up and sat me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around, and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Master God, only you know that. He said to me, prophesy over these bones, dry bones. Listen to the message of God. That's what God told Ezekiel to say. So God, the master, told the dry bones, watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You'll come alive, and you'll realize that I am God. If you read, that's really an interesting chapter. If you go home and read the whole thing, God restores dried bones to life. We have Ezekiel, for example. In other words, if you're sitting here tonight and you're dry and you feel like you're dead and undone, God can breathe life into your dry bones. He can do that, but you have to be asking Him to do that. You have to be sincere in your walk with God in order for Him to do that. See, the problem is we read all this stuff and everybody said, "Oh, you can get it. You can get it." No, you can't. You have to be living right with God. You have to be living right with God. Then you get this stuff. You have to be sincere in your repentance. You have to repent and be sincere. And then whenever you're sincere, God knows if you're sincere or not, you know. Then you'll get this. And God will breathe life into your dry bones. First fruits. God spoke to me and said, I want the church to have the first fruits, first steps. There are benefits of the forerunner. Like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and John the Baptist, and so on. If we want a move of God, we will have to become the first fruits of that move. Numbers 18:13 says, all the first fruits of the land that the people present to the Lord belong to you. God wants each one of us sitting here tonight to walk in the overflow of the glory. God has been trying to get the Lighthouse Church. I don't care who comes in to visit, but He's trying to get the core of the Lighthouse Church to walk in holiness and purity and in righteousness. He's trying to get us to walk in unity, trying to get us to become a total and complete family. And this is what He's working on. And if He can't, even so far He hasn't been able to get that totally accomplished, therefore He hasn't been able to drop the glory like He wants to. Each one of us have the glory in us, but there's a greater glory drop that God is going to drop upon us. That we have to be doing the things God's calling us forth to do. <clears throat> 2015 is a year to get it done. Now remember what I said. God wants each one of us sitting here tonight to walk in the overflow of the glory. How many times has God prophesied to you and told you you're going to walk in the overflow? You're going to have an abundance of all things. You're going to walk in the overflow that you'll be able to help other people. Now, did you believe that when He said it, or did you just say, oh, well, you know, that really wasn't what I hear. I want to go back and see if I can hear what I wanted to hear. You need to listen to every word that God speaks to you. You know, that I told you about God telling me I had to call Brother Chris and pray with him, and I did and didn't know why, but then God talked to both of us, telling us what was going to happen in the church, and He had to put on a recorder and record it, so He sent it to me. And I've had to listen to that thing the last couple of days in order to keep going. I said, God knew that I was going to be under such a demonic oppression that I was going to need to hear that. And same with Brother Chris. He said he's had to listen to it too, that we had to have that and keep listening to that to keep us going. Do you see how good God is? The devil doesn't do that to you. Now, if I didn't have that to hang on to, I don't know what I would do. I'd probably be out here and going boo or something, you know. Because things, the atmosphere is bad. It's really bad. And it's really bad over the leaders because the enemy does not want the leaders to go forth. The enemy wants to stop the leaders. I know people say, well, I keep my prophetic words right there. And somebody told me the other day that they keep them in the car and they listen to them over and over and over again to get it in their spirit to keep them going. And this is what we have to do. We have to keep it in our spirit. 2015 is a year to get it done. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10. So here's what I think. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. Your hearts have your hearts been in the right place all along. You've got what it takes to finish it up, so go to it. That was a Message Bible. I thought that was sort of neat, the way they put that. So here's what I think. This is what I think, too. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year. The best thing you can do, just go ahead and do what God's telling you to do. Just do it. Just go ahead and step out there and do it. You know, well, how do I do that? You know, when God told me to start a church, I didn't know tiddly about nothing. I just put up some chairs and, you know, we just said we're going to hold church. And, I mean, the place packed out. I didn't know how to do that. But God knows what he's doing. He brought Caroline from Florida. She doesn't know what she's doing. But I don't know even what God spoke to her today when I called her. And you know, I just felt a love for her just overwhelm me. So I called her and told her that. And I told her how much I loved her. And then when I was talking to her, God told her why she was here and how her ministry was going to grow, I think. But, you know, we just do what God tells us to do. We just step out there by faith. God told me, he said, daughter, whatever you put your hand out to do, I will, by faith, he said, I will do it for you. So step out there in faith. Do what God's telling you to do. He'll meet you. If he's told you to do it, he's going to meet you. He never leaves you stranded. He just doesn't. I don't care what anybody else says. I know he does not leave, never left me stranded. In the 30 years I've been born again, he's never left me. Philippians 1:6, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep it at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. How many of you pray and say, all right, God, I decree that you started this thing. Now you finish it quickly. I'm talking about over my loved ones. I want it done right now because you decreed it. You said it. Now you said it. I decree it right now. I want it finished because you gave me a time frame and that time frame is done past. Yeah, and I want it done. Or I want to know why it isn't done. Are you listening here? God speaks to you, you know. He does. He will tell you. All you do is sit down and talk to him. And he will speak to you and he will tell you of things that's going on in your life. We are now, some of you look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm dead serious about this. God does speak to you. He does. We are now moving into apostolic anointing for the completing of the mandates that God has given us. God, who is a perfecter, is now perfecting his called for completing the kingdom that will come in the earth as it is in heaven. Read that again. God, who is a perfecter, is now perfecting his call. That's all of us in here. We're all called. For completing the kingdom that will come in the earth as it is in heaven. God is going to do some, he's prophesied that when he does the glory drop, he's going to do some fantastic things through the church. Signs, wonders, and miracles flowing all over the place. It doesn't matter how dark the darkness gets. Our light is going to shine and great signs, wonders, and miracles are going to start occurring. Now, God has prophesied when he's going to bring healing back into the house of God. He took it out because everybody was mocking and making fun of it and using it wrongly. But he's bringing it back into the house of God. And we're going to see people jump out of wheelchairs. We're going to see eyes open. We're going to see hospitals emptied out. You know, this is why all the gross darkness is occurring across the land. God is going to do a great work. He's going to go out in a realm of glory. And your people can't understand why we sing the fast songs, because God won't let us sing anything else. He said it is party time. It's time to party. It's time to get the joy of the Lord in you, because it's going to come a time when you're going to need that joy. And as people sing the fast songs, you know, they start out, but they get the joy of the Lord going in them. You know, we tried going back to slow songs, and that was a dead thing. One time was enough for me. You know, it's like whenever we was doing all the slow songs, and God said, all right, daughter, I'm going to change your praise and worship. I want you to get faster songs. And that's whenever I was leading praise and worship. And so I, you know, just seek God's face and seek work, labor to get a song service together. But we come in here, you know, first of all, the people balked, but then they got their love in the songs. It's not the songs we sing now. And, you know, and the glory of God would fall. This is what I tell the song leader now. You have to seek God's face to see what it is we have to sing, because if you do that, well, then the glory of God will fall. And I tell them, I said, no, that was a wrong song service. It didn't go nowhere. And so you have to be, and you're standing up here and you're singing, and all of a sudden, if you're song leader, you're saying, oh no, I didn't hear God right. You know, nothing to do but keep on going. But then, you know, you could do something else. You could just stop. Sorry, God, I messed up. Now you tell us what songs to sing. That works. That really does work. It really does work. You saw what I did the other night. We laughed that devil to derision. It works. See, you can't be afraid to allow the Holy Spirit to take control. Are you understanding this? See, too many of us are afraid to do what the Holy Spirit is telling and directing us to do. So, you know, if you're hearing God's voice and the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something that's contrary to your thinking and your ways, it doesn't matter. Just do what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do, and you watch how God's going to move in that situation. Come on. This is so real, and you guys can't believe it. God once told me that whatever is happening on earth is also happening in heaven. Therefore, we must capitalize upon the perfecting anointing by design and not by happenstance. I just hope something happens. No, that isn't the way it works. The perfecting anointing is not just going to happen. We must embrace and obediently do it. This goes way past feeling. This is a decision from your will or your spirit. That is why in this year, 2015, God is marrying the apostle, I can't say it right now, but the prophetic. That's all right. You all know what it means. To snap the church into place. And you know, he's saying, I'm bringing apostles on the scene now. And the apostles will work with the prophetic. And great and wonderful things are going to happen. When God was there standing preaching one day, and God said, you are now an apostle. I thought, really now? You know, but I kept that to myself. I didn't understand what God was saying, but now I do. See, God will speak to you different things that will just blow your mind. And, you know, you just keep them to yourself and you just wait, because God will eventually show you exactly why he told you what he told you. The problem with the majority of you in here, you don't really believe that God can really speak the way we're saying he does speak. But he really does. I didn't tell you not to sit and come to the house of God, but because you do need to be taught some. But, you know, you can hear God's voice for yourself. Salvation is neither temporary nor part-time. We can depend upon God to complete what he started. Our faithful Father will not forget us along the way or grow weary and give up. In the same sense, God sets a tempo and expects his people to do the same. Remember I told you one time I was saying, God, what is going on here? He said, I don't know. He said, because I moved on and you're still standing back here. He said, you have to catch up with me. You know, he moved and I didn't realize he moved. So how many of you, maybe God moved and you didn't realize he moved? So you're still standing waiting for God to do something. He's already moved on. He did all he's going to do back here. And so you're going to have to catch up with God. It didn't take me long to catch up with God. I just repented. I said, I'm so sorry, Lord. I didn't know you moved. I was too busy doing something else at the time. And I didn't realize God had moved. How many of you sitting there tonight, maybe God moved and you didn't realize it? And you're still expecting him to do something. He already did it. Amen? Just like I told you, you know, the other night, to come up for something in the prayer line. And somebody was here that Carol Ann already had whatever it was that God called you up before. But then afterwards, somebody standing in line, and I said, what do you want? I want the mantle. I'm not the one that gives mantles, and God didn't call you up here for a mantle. He called you up here for anointing, for salvation, I think it was. You know, to be one to carry salvation. And see, you try to get ahead of God. You try to get God, push God to do something he's not ready to do. You try to push me to do what God's not doing. Let's put it that way. Because I thought, what's going on here? So when God said, this is what I'm doing, then somebody comes up and tries to get you to do something else. That's flesh. Then if anything you do is in the flesh, then are you understanding this? You have to do exactly what God is telling you to do. Where am I at? In the past, we saw many things start with a large flash fire and then be dropped. In other words, people got all excited for God and boy, they were going to tear down the kingdom of darkness. Next thing, they fizzled right on out and sat down, right? But today the Lord is speaking to the kingdom of God to finish what we begin. This is a transition into the apostolic order that God is bringing into our day of dominion. We are not just excited to begin a ministry or look for something new. Are you understanding? We're not excited about beginning a new ministry or looking something new. We are being challenged to complete the work that God has called us to. You have too many people who aren't satisfied with what God's calling them to do, so they're looking for something different, something greater. Well, you're not going to get that. You need to do what God is calling you to do. Colossians 1:9. Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. See, we don't understand how God works. We just don't. I don't either. God will ask me to do something, and I'm thinking, are you sure? And I just step out there in faith and do it with no understanding of what I'm doing, but eventually I understand what God is calling me forth to do. And I'm not the only one like that. I just read somebody else wrote a book about it the other day. They were advertising a book, and they put a little bit of article in there, and there it was. They didn't understand what God was asking them to do either. They just stepped out there and did it. All right? I'm hearing God say, this can be fun if you just trust me. Are you listening? You know, obviously, well, I like a challenge, and I do. But boy, I tell you, sometimes the challenges are really great. Aren't they really great? Your challenges that come your way, they're really great, aren't they? And you just think, well, I should have kept my mouth shut. Amen? But see, I didn't have to open my mouth. God already knew what he made in me. He already knew what I could do and what I couldn't do. And the same goes for each one of you. God has given his people the spiritual gifts, and we are to endure faithfully to the end. God has given his people the spiritual gifts, and we are to endure faithfully to the end. But we are not only to endure the hardships, we are now to become bold in our dominating posture. In other words, you have the giftings, start using them. Lay your hands on somebody that's sick. If they don't live, well, lay your hands on the next person. Be like Charles and Francis Hunter. Eventually, somebody's going to live. The first healing thing that they called, people died. But they didn't give up. They just kept on and holding their meetings. And finally, now they're both dead now, but it was just one miracle. Now their daughter's into it. Just one miracle after another. It doesn't matter if things don't turn out the way you think. God says step out there and do it by faith. We can count on God to continue to supply our needs and to bring the final victory he promised. However, this is a day for God's people to bring us into completion. This is a day for the church to bring to completion the works that God wants done. God has to use the church to do what he wants done. I'm amazed at how many people God has brought through these doors and try to get them lined up with what he wants to do, and they won't line up, so he moves them out and brings another handful in. I thought, well, we got another bunch now. You got to wrestle with and see how they turn out. You know? Come on. Are you willing to go out there and be challenged by God? Are you willing to go out there and fight when you don't even know what you're fighting, but just go out there and fight for God? Are you willing to go out there and just lay hands on the sick, and if they don't get covered, just say, well, thank you, God, anyhow. That must have been their time. No, don't say that. Thank you, God, anyhow, and just keep praying. Don't ever say it must be their time. Don't say that. Amen? Come on. Because when God allowed me to raise those two dead men, you know, they both said, quit praying for me. It was my pastor, and he sent his son. I went to Pennsylvania and buried my mother-in-law, and he sent his son. He had his son call me. He died. He fell out of a deer thing and had a heart attack and died. I went to the mountain and prayed, and I prayed really hard too, and I said to God, you better raise him. I did. I said, you better raise this man of God up. And God did. But he told his son, you call that Sister Barbara and tell her to quit praying. I was in heaven. It's wonderful there. I do not want to come back. He had a great work he had to do for the Father. So they called me in Pennsylvania, and he said, Dad said, please quit praying. Because as long as you're praying, he has to stay alive. But if you quit praying and you'll give him to God, God will take him. And he doesn't want to live. And so I said, okay, God. It took me a while to say that, but I said, okay, God, go ahead and take him if he doesn't desire to live. And God took him. But he had such a calling, so anointed, so anointed. Okay, so where did I say that? So anyhow, if God would do that, and allow that to happen, and God's still the same today as he was then, and he still wants to do the same miracles now as he did then, but the church can't believe that God wants to use them is the problem. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's where I was defeated, because the people around here kept saying, what you're doing is not of God, what you're doing is not of God. So finally, when I started praying for the sick, I'd say to myself as I laid my hands on, Father God, heal them. And I'll say, are you going to do it? To myself. See, their doubt and unbelief. It ruined my gifting in that area. And then I had to repent and I had to work and get it back again in all of its fullness. Don't be afraid. God is well able to do whatever you place your hands to do. You know, I don't know why some people get healed and some people don't. I don't understand why that married couple both had cancer and they had everybody in the world lay hands on her, every famous preacher in the world lay hands on him. She died and he lived and God healed his cancer right after she died. Can't even think of his name right now. But, you know, I don't know why that happened, because I thought, God, why did that happen? Why, James Gold? He didn't tell me either, by the way. Maybe it's probably none of my business. I found out if God doesn't tell me something, it's none of my business. See, and I said, I don't try to get God to tell me something. If he doesn't tell me, it's okay. You know, it's just none of my business because I can't change the thing, you know. We can count. Is that right, Matt? No. We need to quit waiting on the Lord. He is now waiting on us. Hello, Sister Carol. Hello. We need to quit waiting on... I said to somebody, why haven't you opened your church yet? We're waiting on God. He's already told you what to do. He told you to start in your home. He told you exactly how to set up. What are you waiting? He told you the name. What are you waiting on? We're waiting on God. 5 years later, did you start? We're waiting, still waiting on God. No, when God tells you to do something, do it. What if I would have been waiting on God? I'd still be waiting on God. He said, daughter, start a church. I don't know how to run one, just like a business. And I already ran two businesses. I said, well, okay. But, you know, and just stepped out there in faith and did what I had to do. Set up a few chairs and got somebody to play a little guitar, a little hillbilly guitar, and we just advertised it. We didn't even advertise. We just started out, and the word got out that we were there. God brought him in because God called it. So what has he told you to do? And why are you still waiting on God? God is calling us to arise to the challenge. You said, you told me a little bit ago you liked a good challenge. Did you lie? It's easy to say that, but it's another thing to do it, right? I'm hearing God say, the years past have not been pretty for the most of you. You've been in one deep valley after the other. You couldn't figure out where the mountaintops were anymore because the valleys were so many, so deep. But my children, I'm taking you up out of the valleys now, and I am taking you to the mountaintop. And if you can believe me, and if you can trust me, I'm going to do everything that I've spoken over your life. Now is the time. Now is the great challenge that I place before you. Now is the time for you to step into the things I've called you for to do. Now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to sit down. Now is the time to determine in your heart of hearts that you're going to go forth and do the great mighty works that you know that I've called you forth to do. I will be with you. I've already equipped you, and I will be with you. I will not forsake you. And every time you call upon me, I'll be there with the answer. All you have to do now is just move. And I challenge you this night to move and do the things I've called you forth to do. And quit sitting around using the excuse that you don't know what I want you to do. Amen. Now's the hour, now's the time. Church, we can no longer just sit on our thumbs. We have to move. And move we shall. You're a handful that God's wanting to use. Don't let him go out there and pick somebody out of the world to give your mantle to, whatever you do. Don't do that. You know, when I get I get disgusted, I'm going to sit down and I say, no, Lord, I didn't say that. Don't take my mantle. Don't give it to somebody else. So I'm going to say that to each one of you in here tonight. I know you got disgusted. You wanted to quit. But don't. Don't give somebody else your mantle. Because what God has in that mantle is so wonderful. It's so real, so anointed, that he's already prepared you to carry that mantle. So go ahead and work through the hard times, work through the dark times, work through the valleys. This is not easy, and I'm not going to even stand up and say it's easy. It isn't. I struggle, and I struggle, and I struggle, but we can do it. We can do this because we are a family, and you know, we have each other. We have God first, and we have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the whole angelic host. And we have each other. We can do this thing. And this summer, when the glory drops, I hope you're on the right side. Because God said, once the glory drops, and if you're not in his kingdom, you're not going to be able to get in his kingdom. That means you're going to be lost and undone. Really, really ask yourself, is sin worth what you'll lose in Christ Jesus? Ask yourself that. But then if you're demon-possessed and run by demons, I'll say, sure is. Because that's how the devil is, right? You can laugh. That's just how the devil is. He'll tell you what he offers you is so great and so wonderful. Somebody called me just yesterday and said, the devil told me, son, I'll give you this, if you'll just turn around and serve me again. And he said, I told that devil, no way. No way was I going back into that mess. I'm going to stay with God and I'll just work through what I have to work through. So I'm asking each one of you in here tonight, be strong in the Lord. Be encouraged in Christ. Work through whatever it is you're trying to, that God's having you work through. Because he's with you. He has not left you nor forsaken you. He loves you. He's saying, if you'd only know how much I love you. I'm hearing him say his heart is bottomless. In other words, his love goes on forever. I don't know anybody can love you like that. Do you? No man, no woman, no child, nobody. You know, Gabriel keeps saying to me every day, you just don't understand how much I love you. And I say, yeah, I do, honey. He said, no, you really don't. And I probably really don't. But do you know how much God loves you? That's the bottom line. To know that God loves you. We've all gone through hell. We've all gone through hell. Let's just, you know. Jesus went through hell. All the disciples in the Word went through hell. Anybody who's ever served God went through hell. So why do we think we're any different? Why do we think that God should just say, oh, no, I'm not going to let you go through anything. I'm just going to put you in a little bubble and let you float around this earth. No, he's not going to do that. You know, if you're a disciple of God, you have to learn how to fight. Fight. Then rise up and fight some more. You know, God said he's going to use the older people. He's going to use the gray-haired grandmothers. And he's going to use the old men and the grandfathers in this end time hour to work with the young people to bring about his kingdom here on earth. Now, so he's calling everybody. He's not leaving anybody out. And he's also already starting to use the 2 and 3 year old children to lay hands on the sick and they're recovering. That's the kind of God I serve. I don't know what kind of God you serve. But that's the kind of God. What kind of God do you serve? Ask yourself that. Does your God keep you. You're not dead. Sometimes we wish we were dead, right? God, we'd rather be dead than go through this mess. But we're not dead because he told the devil, just like he told him about Job, you can do anything to him, but you can't kill him. And each one of you, God said the church was going through a Job experience. So each one of you, either you have already gone through it or you're going through a Job experience. And he's given him permission to do whatever he's doing to you, but he can't kill you. But you should know if you're going through a Job experience, because God told me now. He said, you're going to go through a Job experience now. I said, really? You know, really? Because I read what Job went through. I went through a Job experience. Job's only lasted 9 months. I'm sorry to say mine lasted a couple of years. It was not fun, but God told me exactly what was going to happen through the whole thing, so I knew exactly what to expect. And it happened just like he said, of course it would. So what's your problem? What is your problem? Job went through the experience. He came through it just fine. We're just like Job. We complained just like he did. Well, it's time to quit complaining, God's saying. It's time to rise up, take your rightful place in the kingdom, and go forth tonight totally secure in him, totally committed to serve him with all of your heart, every fiber of your being, not backing down no matter what the enemy throws your way.